There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, Jolie here. Acast, my beloved podcast network, is moving to a new office, which means a new studio for me. Yay! But that also means that I'm without a spot to record for a week. So instead of a new episode, I pulled an old favorite for you guys to enjoy. Here comes episode 83, Clean and Swole, featuring my friend and the genius behind the fitness and weightlifting advice column, Ask a Swole Woman, Casey Johnston. Casey joined me over the summer to talk about cleaning all kinds of workout gear, from lifting gloves to those protein shakers that make me so nervous. I know lots of you guys have resolved to get fit in the new year, and I hope that your efforts are going well, and that this episode will help you to tackle some of the cleaning woes that come along with a new or revitalized fitness routine. And hey, while I have you, can I ask for a quick favor? It would be a huge help to me if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave Ask a Clean Person the podcast a rating. Those iTunes ratings are wildly important, and I would be so appreciative if you would help to support my show by taking a sec to let the world know how much you love this weird little cleaning show. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the Casey episode. Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast, sponsored by Casabella. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliekerr@gmail.com, or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. My guest today is Casey Johnston, who is an editor at The Wirecutter and The Sweet Home, as well as the author behind the column Ask a Swole Woman, which you can find on The Hairpin. Most importantly, she is my friend and one of my personal heroes. Hi, Casey. Welcome
Hi,
back
Jolie.
To the studio.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I'm excited to have you here.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time since the last time you were here.
Yeah, it's been like over a year.
Definitely over a year.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And you have questions for me.
I do.
I'm psyched.
Yeah.
I like it when my guests have questions for me.
I mean, I try to keep things clean.
Yeah, I know you do. You guys can probably guess, since I have the swole woman in the house, that we're going to talk about gym stuff. I did a big gym episode earlier this summer. Casey and I are going to focus more on gym accessories today. And we're really excited about it. Before we get into it, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all of the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. Speaking of patrons, I have a new Ask a Clean Person, the podcast corporate sponsor, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be partnering with Casabella. I've been recommending and using Casabella's products for years, especially their microfiber and sparkle sponges. Love those sparkle sponges. In addition to underwriting this weird little cleaning show that you love so much, Casabella is offering 15% discount to my listeners. Use the promo code CLEANPERSON, all one word, at checkout for 15% off. To learn more about their great line of products, really, you guys, go look at those sparkle sponges. They're just amazing. Check out their website at casabella.com. That's CASABELLA.com. And we have some new patrons to thank as well. So big thank you to Kathleen Bergen, Elizabeth Fromer, Miriam Figueroa, and Porter Muski. Hey, Porter. All right, so we're going to head right into the first question, which is actually Casey's question. So I'm just going to have you tell me, you don't even need to read it, because it's just like Casey's going to ask me a question.
All right, my question is, so I go to a gym that's very like sort of basic, down and dirty, black iron kind of place where we don't even have like those sort of rubber coated plastic covered plates. They're just like raw iron plates.
Oh, okay.
So when it gets humid in the gym, they oxidize and they get rusty.
Okay.
So that happens, but then it's also like everything is kind of rusty and dirty. So I get, just from like resting them against like my shirt, I get a lot of rust stains mm-hmm. on my shirts, on my shorts. And I need to know how to get them out because I wash my clothes and the rust does not come out.
Right.
So I hope they're not stained, but.
Well, they may be stained. I think we can reverse it. Mm-hmm. They may be stained because they've gone through the dryer. Dryer will set a stain in.
Oh, boy.
But let me talk to you about, and there are probably some things we can do to reverse that. But let me talk generally to you about rust stains. So mm-hmm. rust stains are a very funny animal in the stain world, in that there are products that you should not ever use to treat them because they will make the rust stain much worse. One of the products that you shouldn't ever use on a rust stain is chlorine bleach. But similarly, you also should not ever use oxygen bleach. So that knocks out my old beloved, you know, OxyClean. You can't bleach those stains. It's gonna make those stains worse.
Oh,
and
my
actually,
God. My nightmare.
When I did the last big gym episode, I was talking about a Carbona stain removal product that was the Stain Devil's formula. They have a line of 1 through 9. And I believe it was 9 is for rust and perspiration. And I couldn't figure out the chemistry of why those two stains would be similar enough that they would be treated by the same product. And I asked mm-hmm. the Carbona people, and they explained to me that actually what it is that the perspiration part of it is actually treating the yellow pit stains that really happen because of the aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rust and the aluminum are what are chemically similar. Yes,
okay.
It was really fascinating. So first and foremost, when you're talking about treating a rust stain, you can use a rust stain remover specifically made for laundry, like the Carbona Stain Devil for rust and perspiration. You can also use a regular, a multi-purpose rust remover, something that you would use to remove rust, say, from your toilet, can also be used on your clothing.
Is it safe for the clothing?
You do need to check to make sure the manufacturer instructions of the rust remover say that it is safe for the fabrics that you're treating.
Okay.
So you do need to look at the fabric that you've got. You got to look at the care label and say, okay, this is spandex, this is cotton, whatever it is. And then you need to go look at the manufacturer instructions on the rust remover and make sure that it's safe for fabric.
Okay.
Many of them are, some of them are not. So you do have to check that. But don't worry, Casey, I've got other things for you.
Okay,
if this all sounds too
this
tenuous.
Is a little
too
rich
scary.
For my blood. Yeah, I think we might need to take it down a notch.
But let me give you the name of one of the rust removers that I do recommend, which is Wink. It's W-H-I-N-K, Wink,
okay.
Which always sounds like a Price is Right game to me. No, I guess I'm showing my age when I say that. So those are things that you can use basically as a pre-treatment, like the same way that you would use, you know, Shout spray or anything like that. You would use the liquid rust stain removers and then you would launder as usual.
Okay.
However, there is another option for rust stains, and it's very good. And I've heard from a lot of people who have used this method, and they're like, oh my God, it works like a charm.
Okay.
And it's a lot less scary than using a rust remover that can also be used on your toilet.
Okay.
So here's what it is. It's lemon juice and salt.
Okay. I think I've heard that before, but that's one of those things where I'm like, does that really work?
It really does. You have to, the technique is important to this. So let me talk you through the technique that you want to use to make lemon juice and salt effective on a rust stain. Because you're not just going to like squeeze a little lemon juice on and like, presto, it's gone. There's actually a technique involved here.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is you're going to lay the garment flat. You're going to squeeze the juice all over the rust stain, a fairly liberal amount of it. And then you're going to sprinkle salt over it. Again, a fairly liberal amount. You can use kosher salt. You can use table salt. Anyone is fine.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend using your pink Himalayan sea salt.
Oh, no.
Because it's not Himalayan sea salt, Jolie. That was a very funny thing that I just said. At least I corrected myself. And then the crucial thing is that you want to leave it for 24 hours. You need to let the salt and the lemon juice have the chemical reaction with the rust to reverse the stain. So you want to just leave it be. It needs time to work. Then you'll, brush or shake off the remaining salt and just launder the garment as usual, cold water, regular detergent, nothing else fancy. But don't use your OxyClean. Don't use your chlorine bleach. because that will make those stains worse.
God, I have like a sort of corollary question, which I think is an hour guide to sunscreen. But since I've become such a sunscreen person, I have now all of my white shirts, like including this white shirt that I'm wearing now, is like orange on the inside.
Yeah, it's from an ingredient called avobenzone.
Yes.
Excuse me. And actually, I did a sunscreen episode a few episodes back, and I talked about this. The avobenzone, when it gets in contact with, I think it's chlorine in the water. Mm-hmm. Yes, chlorine in the water system. It creates what is essentially a rust stain.
Okay.
And so you treat those stains exactly
the same way. Okay.
Lemon juice and salt. Exactly.
I've tried to use OxyClean those stains, and it turns them like orange
or
like,
exactly.
Like red.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. So
it's
you can't use the sunscreen stains and the rust stains they behave exactly the same way, both in terms of how you treat them and what you should not ever use on them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The OxyClean will make them way worse.
Yeah. I've had such
worse.
A wild
so
experience.
Yeah. And I just opt for formulas that don't have avobenzone. I have heard that is a pretty critical ingredient. I haven't gotten sunburned with the non-avobenzone, but apparently there's sort of a longer term thing. So I'm not a sunscreen expert, and I should at least say that there may be some issues around avoiding that as an ingredient, but
I think just my personal issue, like,
you guys are much more at the Sweet Home and Wirecutter,
right.
You're much more the expert on that kind of thing.
I think it's possible to have a good sunscreen without it, but now my personal interest is such that since I've become a sunscreen person, I also wear a lot of white, like counterintuitively to me being like a fairly messy person, but so now all of my clothes are orange, so now I'm probably in my own personal self-interest gonna force a like sunscreen pick that doesn't have avobenzone if this is a problem, because we definitely had readers say, oh, it's turning my clothes orange,
right.
And we're like, oh, it's this.
I'll be really curious to see what you guys come up with for that, because I avoid the avobenzone because of the stainy thing, but you know, I'm not entirely confident that that's maybe the best choice, so mm-hmm. I will wait
we'll
for
look
you.
Into it
yes,
for you
I will wait for you to tell me if that's an okay thing to continue doing.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to just quickly mention lifting gloves. So Casey doesn't use lifting gloves, but lifting gloves are certainly a place where rust stains, if you're going to get them, are probably going to be pretty common. You can definitely use, if you have, cloth fabric lifting gloves, you can use that rust stain remover or the lemon juice technique. You probably are not going to end up with rust stains on the leather ones just by nature of the leather. But if you do, a leather cleaner and conditioner or saddle soap would do it. I also want to just give you kind of very quick instructions about washing your lifting gloves, which is a thing you should be doing. You can, if they're launderable, meaning if they're fabric, you can just put them right in the wash and that's fine. If they're all leather and you can't launder them, you can use a sneaker deodorizing spray like the Kiwi Fresh Force or the Dr. Scholl's Odor X. That will help keep the odors at bay, because they do get kind of stinky. So wanted to mention that, as long as we're here talking about gym accessories,
mm-hmm.
we might as well do that. Let me, Casey, have you read this next question from Sarah. And we're going to talk about one of your favorite things, protein shakers.
Okay. Sarah writes, "Hey, Julie. Big fan. Love your book. I have a cleaning question for you if you have a moment. I left a shaker bottle, parentheses, water bottle for smoothies / shakes. Side note, I'm very familiar.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks with some whey protein shake left in the bottom. Oh, God. Of course, whey is milk derived and it smelled like death. So I used a vinegar soak overnight, which did nothing. I decided to try the dishwasher. Didn't help, so I tossed the bottle. Well, now I have a smelly dishwasher. It's a dishwasher drawer, and it reeks. I am kind of skeptical of vinegar for this, since it didn't work on the water bottle. Any tips?"
Yes.
Sarah from Seattle.
Yeah, I have tips.
Oh, my God. I have this problem.
This problem
this
is
horrible. Like, if you've never smelled a shaker bottle with old protein shake in it, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's awful.
It's foul.
So awful.
It's foul. The fact that it was so bad that it polluted her dishwasher,
I know,
is like,
that's
incredible.
Truly insane.
Incredible.
I've never heard of such a thing.
I know. It's totally crazy. So I'm going to talk about how to fix the dishwasher. But before I do that, I want to talk to you guys about the protein shaker thing.
Mm-hmm.
Protein shakers are not difficult to maintain, but there's one incredibly critical thing that you must do after every single use, and here is what it is. You must rinse it out. You must rinse it out immediately after you're done. As soon as you can get to a sink, you don't need to wash it. You just need to run some water in it, dump it out, run some more, dump it out, run. You have to get that residual, the little last drops of the protein shake out of there, because what happens is that powder coagulates. It is literal protein. It's just like leaving an egg residue in a pan for 4 hours, and then you have to scrub it away using all of your might, because protein will seize up. Protein is just a real beastly kind of thing when it comes to cleaning. If you rinse that eggy pan out right after you use it, then it's super easy to go back and clean it 4 hours later. If you don't rinse it, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. The same thing applies to your protein shaker, your shake shakers, anything, especially if you're using any kind of protein powder in it. You must rinse it out. Otherwise, that stuff is going to stick in there. It's going to stick to that shaker ball. It's going to make the shaker smell like death, and you're going to lose that shaker. Now, generally speaking, you guys know that I advocate for not immediately throwing things away. This is a case where she should not have even tried to have cleaned the shaker. She should have just thrown it immediately away after it sat for 2 weeks with whey protein in the bottom. And here's why. The shakers themselves are porous, and it absorbed that smell, and there was no way you were going to get it out. Vinegar was not going to touch it. Bleach was not going to touch it. The dishwasher was not going to touch it. The dishwasher, on the other hand, is not porous, so we can clean that much more easily. Before I get into that, I do want to talk a little bit about once you've rinsed the protein shaker. So say you go to the gym on your lunch hour, and you have your protein shake. You rinse it out. Well, then later that evening, you're still going to have to get it into your sink and wash it, or into your dishwasher and wash it. A few things that you can try if just regular dishwashing isn't quite enough. A long soak, just filling it with hot water and letting it soak. Let the water reconstitute the protein, and then go in to clean it. Using a bottle brush is great for that. Casabella, the sponsor of today's episode, actually makes a whole huge line of bottle brushes. So if you need one for your protein shakers, please go use the discount code CLEANPERSON. It really does help me when you guys use that. And I know Casabella will be really happy to see my listeners buying their products. So go do me a solid and do that. Another old favorite of mine, denture tablets. I haven't talked about denture tablets in a long time. But denture tablets are a great little choice. And of course, our another old favorite, the combination of baking soda and vinegar, which sort of creates that fizzy action. And if you use that in concert with a bottle brush, you'll just kind of get in there and scrub everything away, and it'll be great. So the last thing to say is that Sarah did indeed do the right thing in tossing this. If your protein shaker does develop a smell that isn't coming out with, one or two or three washes, it's just a goner. It's a porous material. It's absorbed an odor, and just toss it and get a new one, and have maybe be a little more mindful about the importance of the rinsing going forward. So now let's talk about this dishwasher. Dishwasher is easily solvable. I totally understand, Sarah, why you're skeptical of the vinegar, because it didn't work on the protein shaker, but we're talking about different materials. And as I said, your dishwasher is not porous. It's not retaining the odors in its material. It's retaining it because the odors are shut in there. So what you're going to do to clean a dishwasher that has taken on an odor, in Sarah's case, she needs to put a bowl or a cup of some sort in on the top rack of the dishwasher. And she doesn't have a rack, it's a drawer, but she needs to put that in there and fill it with about one cup of white vinegar. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, it's not going to work, Jolie, I don't want to use the vinegar. Don't use the vinegar. You can use bleach. They will both work easily as well. I really promise you on that. You can't use them together. Don't mix them together. Dangerous chemical reaction.
My God.
One or the other, either or. They will both work. Some people feel better about using bleach. Some people feel better about using white vinegar. Pick your poison, but don't mix them together, because you'll make literal poison, and I don't want you to do that. Once you've put the cup of either bleach or vinegar in the rack, you're going to run the dishwasher otherwise empty, nothing else in it. Now, this is not going to apply to Sarah because we already know the source of the smell in her case, and also because she has a drawer-style one. But generally speaking, if you have a dishwasher that's taken on an odor, the first thing you want to do before you run the cup of vinegar or bleach is you want to go down underneath the bottom rack of the dishwasher and you want to get into the drain. Put on a pair of rubber gloves for this because it's disgusting and you don't want to touch this with your bare hands, I promise you. I've touched all manner of gross things with my bare hands and I would not go in there with bare hands. You want to put on your gloves and you want to get in there and you want to scoop out. There is assuredly debris in a normal smelling dishwasher situation that didn't come from a specific source of a protein shaker. What's happening is that food particles are collecting and getting caught in the drain, and they're basically rotting down there. So you want to clean that out. Then you want to run the one cup of vinegar or bleach through it. So that is those are your basic dishwashing cleaning instructions. I am going to do more on dishwashers later this year. I'm trying to arrange to have friends of the show, David Cho and Maureen O'Connor, come back together because we discovered shortly after Cho came on for the Sneakerhead episode that both Maureen and David needed help with their dishwashers. And they were like, okay, we're both going to go clean them this weekend and then we'll report back. And I was like, okay, good. Then you'll come on the podcast together. It'll be bananas.
I know. I can't even relate to these problems because I haven't had a dishwasher in years.
Years. I know. I'm like, tough break. Can I bring my pots and pans over,
right,
guys? Like,
I'll deal with the smell.
Exactly. Alrighty, so this is a good time to take a quick break. Casey and I will be right back with more about your workout accessories. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. I'm here with the swole woman herself, Casey Johnston, and we've been talking about workout gear.
Mm-hmm.
This has been good so far.
Well, yeah, it's great.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about when we were talking about the protein shakers?
No.
is I want you to give a shout out to your guide to protein powder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I work at, did we just say this? I work at New York Times Wirecutter.
Yeah.
And so we have a guide to protein powder, whey protein powder. I believe the pick is Optimum Nutrition Gold Standard Protein Powder.
Okay.
If you're interested in why and how we came to that conclusion, there's a whole guide online that you can read. We did a whole taste test.
Yeah, the taste test was really funny, too.
Oh, my God. We did two flavors, vanilla and chocolate. We tried them with both water and milk. I think we did 10 different powders.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone was excited to do that. They were like, this will be fun. And then by, like, two candidates in, everyone was like, oh my God, what have we done?
This
is such a nightmare.
I cannot drink another sip of protein powder.
Yeah, protein is like barely tolerable. Mm-hmm. If you're just like trying to throw it back, if you're trying to taste, like deliberately taste it, it's, we really like went to the mat for our readers to find a good protein powder. So please go read it. Please buy the protein powder.
And please buy the protein powder.
I mean, it's a protein powder that I've used for a really long time. It was like the first one that I've ever used. And I went and made the whole tour of all of the protein powders, like both on my own time and for this guide. And it's just, it is like the best protein powder in my personal opinion. And our research shows.
Yeah.
So.
And it was a fascinating guide. I mean, I don't use protein powders for a whole lot of reasons. But I read the guide because I really was, it was fascinating and it was funny, you know,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things that I like so much about the Wirecutter and the Sweet Home. You know, you guys take your jobs and your research and your testing so seriously and you're so diligent. And I know because I'm often used as an expert mm-hmm. when, you know, when a writer is getting started on a guide before they start the testing, a lot of times they'll call me up and they'll be like, what should I be looking for in a toilet brush? You know, what do you think about robot vacuums before we even begin testing?
Right.
And then I see the final result and I'm like, God, the man hours that have gone into this. But
yep.
also there's so much personality still in it, even though it's highly technical and highly researched and very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You're real people, and it comes through.
Yeah, we always one of our
in
sort
a way
of...
that in a way, and I don't mean this to knock what they do because they do good and important work, but in a way that never comes through with Consumer Reports or Good Housekeeping testing.
I mean,
you just don't get the sense of the person who was doing it.
Yeah, totally. You know? I mean, it's one of the sort of like tips or directives we give to a writer, especially one who's sort of like really lost and like bogged down in the details. We're just like, if you were writing an email to a friend like about what to get, what would you say to them?
Yeah.
And that's like the tone we try to take, the approach we try to take.
Yeah.
So,
which is, I think, a lot of the approach that I take to writing my column, which is that I'm going to give you a lot of technical information here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to do it in exactly the way that I would be writing an email to my friend.
Yeah,
and it
totally is
the way that I write emails to my friend, which you probably know because you've gotten those
yes,
emails
I
from
have.
Me. And I'm like, oh, here's
100%.
You know, here we go. All righty. So let's do, we have another question. I really like this one because it falls right at the intersection of kind of clean stuff, personal grooming stuff, workout stuff, a little bit of lady stuff, which I think you and I both care really deeply about.
Oh, of course.
I definitely want you to talk about your experiences with this, both as, you know, someone who used to do a lot of cardio and now who does a lot of lifting.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you'll have a lot to add to this on a really personal level.
Totally. Okay, here we go. Sarah writes, "Hey, girl. I'm not sure if this is in your wheelhouse, but I figured I'd ask. I've recently gained a bit of weight due to an injury, and I'm having trouble with heat rash for the first time. Sweating like crazy from April to October is expected when you live in Houston, and I've been getting mega heat rash for the past month. I'm mostly a skirts/dress kind of girl, so I figured wearing bike shorts would help, so my sweaty inner thighs aren't chafing when I'm out and about. It helped that, but I also got a bacterial infection in my lady parts. Is there a way to ease the heat rash pain that won't leave me with problems elsewhere? Help."
Yes, there for sure is. There are actually a lot of different ways. And before we get into the different ways, I want to say that this is one of those places where you should try a few different methods and products out and see which one works and feels the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really important message to deliver whenever we talk about kind of the more personal grooming things, that a solution that works for one person may not work for another, and there may be a little bit of a trial and error process that goes on here, and that's fine. I just want to set you up to expect that, so you don't try something and go like, "That didn't work. That mm-hmm. was bad advice." Like, there's no one way to skin a cat with this one, mm-hmm. but there are some good things. So, I have a few suggestions. And Casey, if there's anything that you have thought of or have used that I don't mention here, just pop right in and,
sure.
and let me know. So the first thing is to use a commercial chafing balm. I'm going to give you, there are a lot of them on the market, a lot. And if you guys listening out there have favorite brands that you really like, definitely write to me, joliecare@gmail.com, or tweet at me and let me know what brand it is and what you like about it versus other brands that you've tried, because it's always really helpful for me to hear from real people who use these things. So here are three brands that you can look out for. Body Glide is a very popular one. Gold Bond makes one that's called Friction Defense, which I really, really, really like that
intense.
One. Yeah, it is really intense. And then there's another one called Sport Stick. So there are three, but you know, really lots of them. If you plug in chafing balm into Amazon or Google, you'll just come up with a ton. Then there are things like just sort of multi-purpose ointments like Vaseline or Aquaphor. I love an ointment. Never met an ointment I didn't love. I've just like a huge variety of ointment in mm-hmm. my life. Those are very, very good too for chafing. In terms of having tried wearing spandex and finding that it created issues around trapping moisture and creating bacterial problems, this may not be the solution, but it may just be a turn on spandex. You could try Spanx. I believe that Spanx are designed to be a bit more breathable
mm-hmm.
than, you know, bike shorts are.
Mm-hmm.
I have to imagine that they are. But certainly that is maybe something to try and see if it causes problems. On the other hand, it's still quite tight and elastic, and you may find that that still creates the same problem. A thing that I have been using myself in my own life for boob sweat is dry spray. I use the Dove dry spray. I'm not brand loyal. It just seems to be the one that's like at the
I've never rate. Heard of this dry spray.
Yeah, it's basically like antiperspirant spray. I don't think it's deodorant at all. I think it's just a straight like antiperspirant spray. And I use it mostly because boob sweat when I'm like out and about in New York. But also because once a month I get night sweats. And I have my tracker alerts me 5 days before my period comes, and it's those 5 days when I get the night sweats.
Oh my god!
So I spray myself in the evening before I might put my jammies on, so that I don't wake up in a. I sweat. It's only my chest that gets it.
Huh?
Aging is a. You have all this to look forward to, Casey.
Oh my god! Well, now I'm wondering if I get like if I get period timed night sweats, and I don't know. Like last night,
no,
I was
you would,
like very sweaty.
No, you would,
I would know.
Know you
for
would,
sure.
You would know. Yeah, you would know.
I don't know. I'm not a very perceptive person sometimes.
Oh well. Well, do you use a tracker? A period tracker?
I mean, I do, but I don't think it has a. I don't know if it has a thing for that. I'm gonna look now.
Okay. Let me give you guys. Actually, this is so funny. I was recording the Life Hacker podcast earlier today, and I was talking about my tracker on that as like a 2-period tracker day. The app that I use is called IP Free. There's another one that you can upgrade to. I don't need more. You know, I just need to know when it's coming, basically. Mm-hmm. It gives me a push alert.
God, that's incredible.
And you can set them, like you can have it set for like 2 weeks before your period. You can have it set 2 days before your period.
Right.
I have it set 5 days just because I know that in the lead up, that's when I get my symptoms.
Right.
That like, I'm always like, my God, my left breast hurts. I have breast cancer. And then I'm like, no, you're just getting your periods. Old lefty is acting up again, Joel. Like, this happens literally every month. How long have you been dealing with your period?
Oh,
like,
God.
Come on, learn your body, Joel.
Yeah.
So that really works for me just to give me the heads up that probably like night
okay.
sweat times
I'm look into this.
Are a coming. That's the dry spray thing. And then the last thing is powder. I have to say I have a complicated relationship to powder. First of all, you shouldn't use anything with talc in it. That's the one that can cause cancer issues. So you want to make sure that you're using one that's safe. I don't particularly like powders because I find them messy. I find that's true for using them in your shoes as equally as it is for using in your genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
but some people really like them, and so I think that actually sort of reinforces what I was saying earlier, that you should mix and match and try some things because you'll like some things that other people don't, and that's okay. Here's one brand to give you. Lush. You know the Lush brand?
Oh, I know Lush.
They make great soaps and all that stuff. They have a powder called Silky Underwear. There are lots and lots of powders out there, but I like that. I like the Lush products, except for the bath bombs. Bath bombs will stay in your tub.
Really?
They will stay in your tub.
Oof.
Yeah, and that's not relaxing to get out of a relaxing bath and be like, oh my God, my tub is stained and I have to clean
it. It's like purple.
It undoes the whole effect.
I actually have a question about this. I feel like we've talked before about the possibility of like soap residue in your underwear causing infections.
Yes.
Is that a possible thing here?
I really strongly believe so. I've heard from a lot of people who had to hand launder underwear because of traveling and were noticing that they were getting yeast infections and itchiness. And when they began doing like a triple rinse at my suggestion, that the issues went away. So it is possible that soap residue is causing her issues, but it actually really does sound much more like the compression
shorts.
Just
a breathability thing.
The breathability, exactly, was more the issue.
Yeah.
Especially because when she stopped wearing them, it sounds like it went away.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, that's the stuff about the chafing balm. I want to touch a little bit on, if you do use these, the balm itself is going to get on the inside of whatever clothes you're wearing it with. So I want to talk a little bit about the laundering procedures you should take if you are using, you know, an Aquaphor or a chafing balm or something like that. It's probably really less of an issue when you're talking about the powders or the dry sprays. But if you're using a balm, these things are, you know, they're greasy. And so you need to treat grease stains. What you should do is you should turn the clothes inside out because the balm will be on the inside of the clothes. If you turn them inside out, it means that the water and the detergent can have more contact with the area that actually has the balm on it. You may also, if you do notice that there are sort of greasy patches, go ahead and treat those, pre-treat those using our old friends, either Lestoil or Pine Sol, which are our things for grease. If you don't have those around, just a good laundry pre-treatment, like a shout type thing, just spray a little on that, on those stains, and that'll help to get it out. Cold water. You guys know the drill with all of that, but just want to mention that, you know, if you're smearing Vaseline on your thighs and then you're putting on a pair of shorts, the inside of the shorts is probably going to get some Vaseline on it. So I just want to make sure you guys are all set up to deal with that when it happens.
I need this tip too, because I have so many grease stains on my clothes just from like living life, or like cook. Like I was frying something in oil the other day and It just ended up all over my shirt.
Well, and you know the other trick too, the cornstarch trick for grease. Have I told you this one?
Do you just pile cornstarch?
Yeah.
I've heard flour also.
Flour also works. Okay. I think cornstarch has more absorbent properties than does flour, but I also heard that flour. Okay. I actually recently someone mentioned to me. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, cornstarch, talcum, flour, chalk. I mean, I don't know who has like ground up chalk hanging around the house.
I ordered a giant supply of, I guess it's not real chalk. It's like lifting chalk.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like chalk that you would use on a chalkboard, because
it's
not heavy.
It's
very light and it's crumbly.
Okay, well, you could use that. But you wouldn't want to use that because it's probably more expensive than...
I don't think it was that expensive, and I just have so much of it now.
Oh, well, you can use
that. I don't know
that
I'm ever going to use it. Yeah, so I might give that a shot.
Well, here, test it out and then report back to me.
Okay, I
will.
You're
going to do field research for me.
Awesome.
All right, so listen, you guys, speaking of gym stuff, Casey is going to stick around to record a bonus episode with me in which, at the request of some of my patrons, I'm going to share something related to the saga of the hot tattooed guy at my gym that I deemed too much for Twitter. So if I'm saying it was too vulgar for Twitter, you know, it's probably pretty vulgar. I know a lot of you guys have been following the saga of the hot tattooed guy at my gym. It's been a lot of fun. It's ongoing. He was not there today, and I knew he wasn't going to be there because I had to work out early. And I kind of have a sense of what his schedule is now. I Twitter stalked my own self to figure out when I was tweeting about him to
see
if I
could
figure out what time he was going at.
Wow, amazing.
I'm very, very dedicated to my craft. I've got, in addition to the hot tattooed guy at my gym story, I've also got another mortifying story that I would promise I would share if I got either 25 new patrons or $50 in pledges, and I got more than $50 in pledges. So I want to say a quick thank you to Jen and Kelly for upping their August pledges to support my patron drive. You guys are amazing. You're just the best. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm very excited to humiliate myself for your entertainment. and I really, really appreciate it. It was fun to work with you guys to figure out what some new levels of giving. I know I say every week, like, tell me if you want rewards, but like, really tell me. I'll take it under advisement. And before I sign off, I have another update for you guys. So I know the past two episodes I've had updates that have been on this sort of crummy side, but I have good news this week, I promise. And when I said on the last episode that I really promised you guys that I was fine and Ask a Clean Person was going to be fine, it was because I knew that there were great things a-brewing, and that departing Esquire, even though it was not my decision, was actually one of the best things that could have happened for me. I'm so grateful for having been there, but this new stuff is going to just really take Ask a Clean Person to another level, and I'm so excited about it. So here is my news. Starting this week, I thought I was going to wait till September. This just like hit the ground running. Ask a Clean Person has a new home at Offspring, which is Lifehacker's parenting site. I am so excited about this, you guys, in part because so many of my nearest and dearest have asked me for a parenting-specific column. I'm of the age where I don't have children myself, but most of my friends do. They have young children. They have grammar school-age children. They email and they text and they call constantly and they fall over themselves apologizing, and I'm like, please don't apologize. And it's a joy that you need me and that I can be part of your life and your child's life in this way. Like, this is the best way to be the cool auntie, you know. I love being a cool auntie. So this is a thing that they've really wanted from me. And also, I'm excited about it because it means taking on a whole heap of new messes. In the past over a year and a half, the only columns that I've been writing have been for Racked and for Esquire, which means they've been very focused on fashion and clothing. And I need a break from pit stains and polishing shoes. I need to talk about nipples, and I don't mean my own. And I want to talk about rubber duckies. And my first column is going to be about rubber duckies and bath toys. And I have
a lot.
This is
going to be so great.
It's going to be great. It just is going to be fun. The Clean Cast will continue as a general interest show. I am not going full parent. It's just the column. I do have a few other tricks up my sleeveys. They're not ready for me to announce just yet. But don't worry, I'm not going full parenting. This show will always stay general interest. It will stay at Deadspin. And I'm very, very, very excited about that. I will keep you updated in this space as well as on Twitter for more column updates in the upcoming weeks and months. So on that note, very happy, happy note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast sponsored by Casabella. Don't forget to use promo code CLEANPERSON, all one word, for 15% off all Casabella products at casabella.com. And if you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.